Sunday we talked about the scriptures of in terms of behaving like children by obeying our master. Today we learn about believing like children from the Gospel of Mark. One of the sad realities of our day today is that we have succeeded in complicating Christianity. The Bible teaches us about the requirements of becoming a Christian, and all that is required is faith. When we read in John 3:16 that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, the salvation comes through faith. When we read in the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read that to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God, being born again by the Spirit, by believing. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, as Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, "You were included in Christ when you not only heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, but having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." And in Hebrews we read about the definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure and being certain. We talked about that a few weeks ago in learning about faith. So we read from the Bible about the requirements of becoming a Christian is faith. Believing in Jesus and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. But today, our society, our Western corporate thinking, programmatic society, we've reduced what receiving Jesus as Savior is really all about. In other words, we have taken a simple concept and we have reduced it to something that is more or less secular in its ideas and in its program and in its path to coming to that end of being a Christian. And here's where we turn people away. We scare people off. We actually set them up for failure. Because we want them to be like us. We want them to follow our programs. We want them to meet our requirements so that they can receive salvation. We have it all figured out. We think we have it all right. And here's all you have to do. Well, you have to do this and this and this and this, and you should do this. And here's, you know, you see what I'm saying in modern Christianity. And what happens when we do that, we set people up for failure. Because along the way, when they fail to do something, then they feel less than adequate. In the great book, Mere Christianity, written by C.S. Lewis, he talks about the great debate of all time, being that when a Christian sins, are they no longer a Christian, or are they just simply a bad Christian, not a very good Christian? You see, there's this struggle because we get into this works-based theology in our minds that being a Christian means this, 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 and this. When in all reality, it just simply means having faith, believing in Jesus, and receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When in fact, faith in Christ, coming to Christ and receiving Christ as who He really is as the Savior of the world, is really kind of simple. It's something even a child can do. In fact, I think sometimes children have it more right than we do as adults. God, in all His glory, has not only made Himself known to all human beings, He's made His plan simple so that all people can believe. I remember when I was a young boy, I was so gullible to my dad, and my dad played right into that. I remember one time I was making a model submarine out of plastic. It was about that long and probably about that big around. And I got the model all together, and it was that dull kind of grayish brown color that models, plastic models, often are. And my dad said, "Well, why don't we paint it?" I said, "Okay." And he said, he was going to hang it up and spray it. My dad liked to paint stuff. And I said, about painting submarines. And my dad said, "Well, yeah," he said, "I used to paint submarines when I was in the Army." And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, really?" And I believed him. My dad never was in the Army, nor did he ever paint a submarine in his life, and he ended up painting the submarine red. But at any rate, sometimes children, in their willingness to accept what someone is teaching them, when it comes especially to Jesus and Christianity, I think they have it more right than adults do. In our text today, we find Jesus on the eastern side of the Jordan River in the region known as Perea. Jesus was going along in this region teaching, as was his usual practice. He was answering questions by the people and the religious leaders as he was going along. Now, depending on the commentary that you read on this passage today, there are actually two messages, if not even more, here. I'm just going to comment on the first, and that is the importance of bringing children to Jesus. The importance of introducing children to Jesus. Folks, the reality of our empty churches today, empty of children, is the fact that parents are not introducing them to Jesus. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
And this is something that has been happening for probably 30 years. This is why we do not have young people or children in our churches. They will introduce them to the ways of the culture, the ways of society, and everything else, but they will not introduce them to Jesus and the church and the community of faith. I can't for the life of me understand why, because it has made all the difference in my life, and I am so thankful that my parents and my grandmother were committed to introducing my brother and I to Jesus Christ and the faith community of the church. As we read this, we can see the importance of this. Bringing children to Jesus, introducing them to Jesus, because it tells us he took them in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Okay? He blessed them. Jesus blesses little children. Alright? And there is such an importance in introducing children to Jesus at an early age. I am a product of the biblical text that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will return to it. Yes, they're going to stray when they're teenagers. Yes, they're going to make other choices. But if we faithfully introduce children to Jesus at a young age, they will return at some point in life. Secondly, we find here in the text, all that's needed to receive salvation is childlike faith. But I want to go a little bit deeper than that, because I know a lot of you have heard this before, that it just simply takes childlike faith to receive salvation. In our text it says people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Now, this story is also found in Matthew and in Luke. In Matthew, Matthew presents Jesus as the true king. All right, he gives the lineage of Jesus down from David. Jesus is the king. So it's showing us in Matthew's gospel how the king even received the little children. In Luke's gospel, Luke presents Jesus as the human man Jesus, and the fact that Jesus the man welcomed little children. And in Mark's gospel, it shows us Jesus as the servant, showing that part of Jesus' service was to receive and welcome little children so that no one was excluded. It says people were bringing little children to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And the word for indignant that's used in some texts is angry. Jesus was mad at the disciples because they were rebuking the people for taking up Jesus' time with these little kids, you see. And Jesus said, and here again, we read the letters in red, the words of Jesus, but I would have loved to have heard how he said this. "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." I would have bet Jesus looked at his disciples and said,
"Let these little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, will never enter it. He was indignant. He was angry when he said this. But he made a very important point. And there's two things that are common here to all the Gospels that talk about this story. The kingdom belongs to such as these, and receiving the kingdom involves being like a little child. So reasoning tells us that the Bible is teaching, Jesus is teaching us here, that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like a little child, so be like a little child and receive it. That's called deductive reasoning. Maybe a deductive syllogism, I don't know. So what does this really mean? What's he saying here? What's this mean for us today? First of all, when he says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, the word "such" means of the kind mentioned. The kingdom of God belongs to the kind that I'm talking about. In the Greek, it implies the sort of person having this kind of character. The kingdom of God belongs to this sort of person having this kind of character, the character of a child. Now, let's think about this a little bit. Let's think about children. Let's go beyond this cliche that salvation comes through having the faith of a child. First of all, these children needed to grow more, they needed to know more, and they needed to show more. Children in this culture were valued. They were considered a blessing by God, but yet they were not yet important in the culture and society. They were valued, but yet they had not gone through all of the rituals, all of the services, all of the things that they needed to reach that certain point where they were now considered part of the community and important in society. They needed more to be recognized in society. They were underprivileged, so to speak. Secondly, children were vulnerable to all kinds of teaching. They needed to understand certain things first. They needed to know the differences between true and false teachings, and they needed to know the language and the terms. You know, sometimes today in our churches and in modern Christianity, we start talking to people about Jesus, and we start to complicate it by saying, well, there's certain things you need to understand first of all. Let's talk about transubstantiation. Let's talk about expiation. Let's talk about propitiation. You know, let's talk about the perseverance of the saints. You see, we start to complicate it. The children needed to know the differences between true and false teachings. Very important in our culture today for those who want to follow Jesus. They need to know the difference between true and false teachings. And that's something that comes as a result of following Christ. Thirdly, they needed to know the language and the terms. We spit out all this Christian culture and these different terms and languages and music in what I call commercial Christianity. And it's almost as if you don't know these things, then what do you know? What do you know? So children, these children needed to grow more, they needed to know more, and they needed to show more. They needed to offer something of their own to the community. And again, in modern Christianity, a lot of times we sort of push certain people out. We don't pay much attention to them because they don't have much to offer. But someone comes along that has a lot to offer. They're, you know, in the upper class of society, and we're a little more open to welcoming them in. How does that look to the world? How does that look? What did Jesus do? He looked past the culture. He looked past all these things. He didn't care that they needed to grow more. He didn't care that they needed to know more. He didn't care that they needed to show more. He looked and he saw the souls of human beings. Today, in our culture, you need to know someone. You need to know something. And you need to offer something of your own. These little children were open-minded. They were open-hearted. They were vessels that needed to be filled with the love of God. They were souls that needed to be touched by Jesus. They were eyes needing to see the way, the truth, and the life. They weren't yet corrupted, and even if they were, Jesus was able and willing to receive them because they just simply came to Him for blessing, trusting that He would and He could. You know, so oftentimes, as followers of Christ, when we sin, we feel inadequate to come to Jesus. Well, I can't do that. I just don't feel good about myself. That's why we come to Jesus. Again and again, we come back to sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer. Because like little children, we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. The character of these, such as these, was that they may not have understood all about Jesus, all that there was to understand, but they felt there was something special about Jesus, and they just needed to be blessed by Him. You see, it was faith untainted or unblemished by the cultural thinking that we have to be, or we have to do, or we have to know. That's what the culture tells us. But the Bible says no, all you need to do is believe. A child runs to the parent trusting that they not only will, but that they can do what's needed. And in this case involving Jesus' teaching on receiving the kingdom of God, only those who trust that Jesus can and will save us on judgment day and every day, only those will receive the kingdom of God. I liked what Howie has to say in his Bible handbook. It's a good little handbook if you can ever get a hold of it. Howie's Bible handbook says it like this: Jesus indicates that heaven will be exclusively occupied by childlike people. There will be no pompous people in heaven strutting around as if they owned the universe. Hallie says there are plenty of them in the church here, but not so up there. Now we kind of chuckle, but that is so true in Christianity, modern Christianity today. These little ones didn't know it all. They didn't have a theology of their own. They had no degrees. They had no social status. They didn't even have any Bibles. They weren't Methodists. They weren't Baptists. They weren't Presbyterians. They weren't Roman Catholic. They weren't liberal. They weren't conservative. They weren't black. They weren't white. They were in need, and in their need, they came to Jesus. And it tells us He blessed them. He blessed them, and He will, and He does every time we come to Him. We cannot think He doesn't have time for my little problems, or I'm not good enough. We are all able to come to the feet of Christ, whether we think we're good enough or not. Jesus sees the heart and the soul. So don't think for one moment that you're not good enough, that you don't know enough, or that your last name is not good enough, or that you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough time. Don't think that you haven't done enough, because you never will do enough, because you can't do enough to get into the kingdom of God. And don't think that Jesus doesn't care about little old you. He does. He does. And it happens by humbling ourselves like the children were doing and the people were doing. And in faith, running to Jesus now and every single day of our lives. He never stops being our Lord and our God. You know, when we have those problems in life and we skin our knees, so to speak, or we get dirt in our eye, or we get a little fever, you know what I'm talking about. Hypothetically, in life, these problems happen. We come to Jesus. No one ever enters the kingdom of God carrying anything. In fact, our name won't even mean anything. Revelation tells us that we'll be given a new name. Childlike faith with no hindrance because of social standards or because of religion. childlike faith, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come without one plea at all. I don't have a plea. I don't have a case. I just simply come because you shed your blood for me and you bid me to come. That's why I come. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I will never know it all. I'll never have it all. I'll never be it all. But Jesus, you are my all in all, in life and in death. And faith in you is all I need to receive what you've offered to me. Oh Lord, our shepherd and our leader, today as we listen to your words and your teaching, we're reminded that we can come to you in our times of need. Like little children, we humble ourselves. There are no prerequisites. We don't need to know anything or do anything. We just come and sit with you, and you bless us. May that be our hope this week as we live out our lives, to know that you see our hearts and our souls, and you find value in each one of us, just as we are. And, O Lord, you bid us to come. So may we come, and may we come with childlike faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.